Who's up next on the slab? Oh, it's you. Making the first incision. Welcome to the slab. Woo!
Wee!
So spooky.
So, on episode 1, season 2 of the slab, technically it's like episode 21, but we wanted to talk about, start off the year strong. Sorry about my voice and pretty much Josh's voice as well. We've been sick for like the past week, and we're just now feeling good enough to actually come in here and record something. So, excuse our throat clearing and whatnot, maybe a cough break here and there. But, so tonight on the slab, we want to start off the year strong by talking about kills. Like, good kills, bad kills, how important are the kills in horror, and is more the merrier, or do you want to go quality over quantity? Like, these are good questions that, as individuals, we would like. And hopefully, famous horror movie directors such as Joe Lynch will hear us and maybe take some notes. Not saying... Okay, never mind. I love you, Joe. So, I guess the first question would be, do you like... And this is something we were kind of discussing. What kind of kill do you like? Over the top? Do you like subtle, classy, and like, and give your pros and cons about them? Well, nobody go at once.
I like a creative kill. Not necessarily have to be over the top gory, but I like a creative kill. One of my favorites was on the remake of Friday the 13th. Where he strings that girl up inside of her sleeping bag
over that campfire. Yeah.
Now, as far as realism goes, I don't necessarily know that really what would happen, but it'd be along the lines of that. And that was a very good kill. Because, I mean, how they had the cam inside the sleeping bag, and, like, every time they panned to it, you saw that her face was a little bit more black or had, like, shit that melted off the sleeping bag and sticking to her skin.
Yeah, and that kind of drove the terror behind it. Like,
yeah.
Like, what would you do if you were hung up in a sleeping bag, like, Brazen Bull style?
Probably just the same as she did. Exactly. Scream until it split open.
Scream and piss myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Brazen Bull style. Yeah.
So, I like over the kills in a sensible way.
Over the top kills.
Yeah, over the top kills in a sensible way, if that makes sense.
No, that makes perfect sense. If it's too over the top, then you're not going to take it seriously.
Yeah, like, I am a big fan of, like, getting killed in the head.
Kill him in the head! Fuck yeah!
Kill him in the head!
Paranorman.
No, just head kills in general. I'm a really big fan of head kills.
Right.
Like head explosions, decapitations, you know, things like that.
Oh, yeah, mutilation, all that. All that shit.
So you want that gore behind it. You want that, like, oh, fuck! Behind it.
Yeah, that... So that paired with like some Quentin Tarantino, Adam Green blood, blood squirting,
so
splattering.
So the bloodier the better.
Yes.
Gotcha. And realistically, like that's going to be the majority of kills that you see, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh yeah,
that's the shock factor.
Yeah, like I
also like live disembowelments. Those are especially from like a sword slice.
I'm looking at like a
ninja just comes up and slices you right in the abdomen, and you just
your guts just spill out. Yeah, I thoroughly enjoy stuff like Society, him pulling that guy inside out through the butthole.
Yeah.
Like,
no, you're a butthead.
That would hurt.
We got to do a live dissection on Society.
Oh,
holy
fuck
shit.
Yes.
Might take some mushrooms before we watch it or something. Let's get real.
That sounds really good.
No, so, me personally, I'm a gore slut. I want the nastier, the better, man.
Oh, I completely get it.
Blood, guts, it's all entertainment for me. We know this by now.
Yeah, and like we were talking earlier
blood
about...
Blood slut.
Yeah, you're a blood slut. And we were talking about it earlier about your, you know, your favorite kill in Terrifier.
Oh, fuck you.
I'm just saying it checkmarks everything you just said.
I mean... that one scene put me out of an entire movie. I checked out at that... Bullshit.
That is a hacksaw, sir.
Yeah, you can't
do that.
Sir, sir. Art, sir. But now, for me, I like the visual that also complements the audio.
The nice sound.
Okay,
It sounds got to have a really good thing with me. Now, if it's just
juicy.
That common sound bit that you can go on Google and get of like blood squelching, it's I'm like, you could have done so much better with a fucking bag of, you know, pork chops and a baseball bat. Like, you really can.
Gotta sound like mac and cheese.
Yeah. But it's like, especially like, let this segue into our next, into the next question here, like, what would be, like, a favorite kill? Like, and then not like your top favorite, but like your favorite style of killing. Do you guys like, you know, more scientific behind it? Do you like, more brutality behind it?
Like, oh, I'm brutality all the way.
I like a little brutality with mine,
gotcha.
Too.
I can agree with that. My favorite type of kill is head trauma, like Chris said. Yeah. Just bashing a fucking skull in.
Creative brutality.
Right.
Yeah, creative brutality. Like, actually, the acetylene torch kill from...
Halloween Ends, yeah.
Yeah, Halloween
Ends. Yeah,
that was a really good one.
That was a good kill. That was like, a really good kill.
Brutal as shit, and that was the very first time I had seen death by acetylene torch.
And so for me, brutality is obviously going to be like up there with me. But I like the shocking types of kills. Going back to Halloween Kills, mm-hmm. when the kid broke his fucking neck in the beginning,
that was a good one.
That like
that
yeah,
was
it was
a good one.
It was funny, but then. Like, you know,
oh shit, that kid just died.
Yeah, but you saw how his body flopped on the fucking ground and you heard everything and just like so rarely do you see somebody.
It also had the audio.
Yeah, that crunch. But rarely do you see like somebody falling from that height and they're not laying down with one leg curled up and one arm above their head and just a thin trickle of blood behind their skull. No, you saw him bruised, fucked up, broken bones. I mean, you saw it was one of those like, oh, they made that real.
You actually you just sat there and watched a kid die.
And laughed the second it happened.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But then you're like, ha! Oh! Because at first your brain goes, that little kid deserved... I'm agreeing with Josh. That little kid fucking deserved it because
he was
a dickhead.
He was a dick.
But then it's just like... Then it's the common sense part of the brain kicks in. Where it's
how
like,
are you going to explain that?
I mean, who doesn't crack. Love watching kids fall down?
I can watch kids fall down all day. Fuck your kids.
Yeah. What was that one movie we watched in here, the Christmas-themed one? The little kid that invited the babysitter's friends over. And
Better Watch Out.
Better
Watch Out.
Yeah.
So I liked the... It was the very first kill.
The paint can?
Yeah, where you take the paint can and yucked it over the top of the banister and it came down.
Yucked it.
Smashed the fucking face in.
And that actually...
Put that down!
Okay.
And that actually segues into probably the more one of the more important questions is off-screen kills.
Fuck them. I don't like off-screen kills, man. I like to see it happening.
I agree with that one.
But that paint can was an off-screen kill.
It was, but the
But the lead up was so worth it.
Oh, yeah. And it showed, like, immediately after.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't show the head explosion, but it showed, like, the paint mixing with the blood.
Yeah, and all like, over the place.
Now, once again, I'm going to agree with Josh on a couple things. And I'm going to agree with pretty much the entire table. Fuck off-screen kills. If I paid for the fucking movie, I want to watch. I want to see what happened. Unless the aftermath was worth it.
Right.
And that's my defense for that kill.
Now, if the aftermath wasn't worth it, Pet Sematary 2, kid getting... The build-up to that fucking motorbike scene...
Yeah.
...was way too much for us to not see it. For us to get fucking edged on it.
I didn't even like the after effects, personally. I didn't even like how they made him look. It's like, you look like you got burnt. You don't look like you got your face fucking eaten off with dirt bike spokes. You look like you got burnt. Does anybody remember how he looked? He looked burnt. He didn't look scuffed.
It was just that one line on his face,
too. Yeah.
It like that 3-inch wide line. I'm like, that's all? How'd that kill you?
Trauma.
Babo, you've been pretty quiet over there.
I'm not a huge fan of off-screen kills. Preferably, I'd like to see it. Like in the one Chris just mentioned, I wouldn't even consider that an off-screen kill because it showed the carnage right away. But yeah, even if I didn't pay for the movie, I want to see the fucking kills.
Agreed.
Completely agreed, yes. And I understand why off-screen kills are there. It's to help control the budget of the movie. I get it. Like, can anybody tell me an off-screen kill of Freddy Krueger?
Off-screen kill
of Freddy Krueger? Offhand, no.
Him killing Alice Cooper in number 5. I don't think you got to see him kill his old man. Everybody remembers what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Where he comes downstairs and he's like, boy, it's time to take your medicine. And the whole while, Freddy's down there cutting his abdomen with a razor blade, like psyching himself up. So when Alice Cooper comes down and hits him with the belt, he just laughs. I don't recall actually seeing Alice Cooper die, but I'm not sure. You know how long it's been since I've seen that fucking movie?
And, like, my point is that, like, with Freddy Krueger, those movies were based on those kills.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be there. He wasn't a regular slasher. He was supernatural.
Yeah.
So you have to see each one of the kills.
Exactly.
But how many kills were there of him just stabbing him with his hand claws?
More than I can count on one full hand.
There's a lot.
You can't really name a whole bunch of kills that he's done.
I can name a lot of slashes.
Yeah.
Now, the blood fountain with Johnny Depp.
That one was really good.
Iconic.
Yes.
And then we look at... then we go into Dream Warriors, where we're looking at like the shooting up. Where he,
that was a good kill scene.
But that can still be considered clawing. It kind
to a point, I guess.
He just had syringes instead of knives.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you get into like Welcome to Prime Time, Bitch, where he slams her head into the TV.
Yeah. Iconic.
You know, but you see all these iconic kills from Freddy, but they're not all the iconic ones you think about are the ones that stand out because they're the most creative ones.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He has way more of just slashing and stabbing and blah, blah, blah. He does. He has way more of them, but there's what, 10 iconic kills in the entire franchise.
I guess you'd say that. I'm out. Never really thought about the kill count.
I think this calls for
a whole dissection.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
A franchise dissection.
Now,
that's gonna take a while.
Now go to, yeah. Now key go points. To Friday the 13th.
Okay.
How many kills can you name that was iconic?
I mean,
two off the top of my head.
Off the top of your head, two instantly come to mind.
Yeah.
Jason's mom getting fucking decapitated, that was like the most iconic in that. And that was the villain getting fucking killed.
Now, take this in consideration. Friday the 13th has more iconic kills than Nightmare on Elm Street. Has way more. Way more. Because they were all unique. They weren't just normal stabs.
Right.
He always did something a little extra.
The sleeping bag one, top of the head, where he beat a motherfucker with another motherfucker. Like Josh said, the burning sleeping bag.
I like the Jason X where he beat that lady with the other lady inside the sleeping bag.
Yeah.
That one was funny.
Cryogenically frozen head.
Yeah, DJ's favorite there.
Yeah.
He crushed a motherfucker in a bed, like just folded it like a fucking taco.
After he stabbed the shit out of him.
Yeah. He didn't need to stab him that much.
He felt it was necessary.
Crushed a dude's head with his own belt against a tree.
That was
he just folded his clothes with him in it.
That was technically like
I was talking about the kill in part 3.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, what you were talking about earlier.
But, like, all these kills are iconic because we can go through each and every one of those movies and name an iconic kill. Like, and it's going to be an entire list. Now you go over to Halloween. The kills aren't iconic. The weapon is.
Yeah.
The butcher knife.
Yeah.
That's iconic because that's real. That can happen. Those kills can happen.
But, okay, so Michael Myers using the knife, that's one thing. And one thing I have an issue with is kills. It was number 4. The first one with Daniel Harris in it. And he picked that dude up by the fucking head and crushed his skull with his bare hands. That's
a lot harder than you think.
Like, that was a cool kill and it was a cool concept, but you're... You know, you're just adding to the mysticism that they never fucking explained. That is Michael fucking Myers. They never explained the supernatural mysticism that they introduced in 4 and 5.
Now you can take that same type of kill, flip it back over to Friday the 13th, part 3, where he crushed that guy's head, but he used both hands.
Yeah.
And it didn't explode into a head crush. It just, an eye popped out, some blood, and then he let go and he was dead.
I don't even think an iPod. Yeah, that one was more realistic.
It was.
And in the Halloween 4, no. I think it was just kind of like a little blood come out of his nose, eyes, and mouth. And then, like, you heard a crack, him groan in pain, then he dropped him and he was done.
Yeah, and it was just kind of eh.
Yeah. Like, all that. Like, you let us get to know this guy that long just to get his face crushed, and it took 5 seconds to do it. Kind of right. Like the boyfriend on Halloween 5, the asshole boyfriend with the red GTO. How quick he got taken out with that fucking garden claw.
Yeah.
It was just like, you're such a badass, but like, he scraped your car, you throw a fit, you grab a tire iron, and then you talk. The biggest fucking mistake, you talk before you fucking strike. I just walked up to my fucker and hit him with it. Wouldn't done nothing. I still probably would have died the same way.
But at least you would have died with...
At least a hit.
I got one in.
I didn't die no bitch. I didn't die lacking.
You know, something they did a couple times in Halloween 5 and the remake in Rob Zombie's first Halloween remake, the pitchfork. I'm not big on pitchfork kills because there's only one fucking way. You get impaled with the 4 fucking forks on it.
Yeah, there's not.
And I feel like that would take you a lot longer to die than what they really explain. Because you're only getting stabbed once. And then you're getting...
Well, technically 4 times.
Well, my point being, you're only getting stabbed once with the 4 with the 4 points. And then you're getting thrown. That's not enough to kill you instantly. But they make it seem like he's dead instantly.
Well, if they like... I can understand if they stabbed you in the face. It depends
on where they get stabbed.
True. Like both lungs and the heart would probably kill you pretty fast.
Well... With puncture wounds like that, you would actually drown your own blood before you bleed it out.
Right. Your lungs would fill up.
Instantly. Absolutely. But that would be a very gruesome thing to watch. Somebody suckling for air and all you can hear is the blood gurgling out of their chest.
I think that would make it more entertaining.
Mm-hmm. That's how you make a pitchfork kill entertaining. You don't just quick and then it's done. You watch that suffer afterwards. That a good acted and a good plotted kill will turn you on to that style of kill. Now,
go what on. What you explain kind of falls into when Jack died in the movie Four Brothers. I know it's not really a horror movie.
No, but
that was a good death scene.
That was a great.
But how you explain? But die. How you explain the gurgling and like what you could hear? That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah, you saw him die. Yeah. You didn't see him get killed.
Sir, I'm not trying to be in my feels right now. Thank you.
And no, I love the movie Four Brothers. Don't get me wrong. I fucking love that movie.
Same.
Yeah,
same.
But how he dies is just so fucking tragic that I don't think.
Why do they gotta fucking pick the runoff for? Why couldn't they all just lived? They already had to hit you. They already had to hit you in the fields when it killed their adopted mother. I mean, what the fuck?
And then
probably because Jack was a fighter.
No, it's because Jack was the most loved character. Jack was the rock star that had a whole bunch of trauma. You see how they built his character up.
Yeah.
He knew that his mom went to Woodstock. You know, he was... And in the flashbacks at Thanksgiving dinner, he was... His interaction with his adopted mother was completely different than his brother's.
Yeah.
His brother's kind of had a similar one where she was just like being really supportive.
Yeah.
Whereas his interaction triggered... trauma in his eyes.
Yeah.
Like he was the most traumatized one, and he was the youngest one.
Yeah.
So he's the one that everybody felt for the most. He had to die. Like, let's face it, if Tyrese would have died, you would have felt little to nothing. If Andre 3000 died,
I would have rejoiced.
You would have felt little to nothing. Yeah. If Mark Wahlberg died, you'd have been like, "Oh, that sucks." It's like It goes back to the classic horror movie tropes of lines being crossed. And that's actually a really good segue from the Four Brothers. The way you can compare that kind of death into in horror is going to be the dog. Don't kill the fucking dog.
Oh,
right. Mm-hmm.
Once you kill the dog, you hate that killer instantly. Doesn't matter if he's iconic or not. You hate that motherfucker.
Wow, Michael Myers loves to kill dogs.
Yeah.
German Shepherd, mm-hmm. Doberman Pinscher.
And a Golden Retriever.
And a Golden Retriever, that's right.
Yeah, the three most popular dogs.
Yes.
Yeah, I do got to give the filmmakers credit to where they make Michael Myers more of a villain than falling into the pop culture category.
Now, if they made them pit bulls, it would have been a different fucking story.
Oh, I would have hunted them down my damn self.
No, I mean, I feel like if they'd have made them pit bulls, they would have had to just show the pit bull beating the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Like, you for one thing, if you're crafty enough to get past a Doberman Pinscher, mean little motherfucker anyway, you ain't getting past a pit bull.
And if you're that much of a badass to take down a German Shepherd barehandedly,
yeah,
owning a German Shepherd and being around them my entire life, knowing that they are way stronger than what you give them credit for, once they got you, they got you.
So, hear me out. I want to see Michael Myers go up against a herd of Chihuahuas.
I got five on Chihuahuas.
Little fucking ankle biters. I can agree with you. I think they would win.
It would just be so overwhelming.
When you say herd,
like five or six of those
little
motherfuckers.
No. Herd. A herd. I'm thinking like when you say herd, I'm thinking like 40 to 50.
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking of like 100.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know about all. That's a big fucking herd. You know, 15 to 30.
Okay, so at minimum, 10 Chihuahuas.
Yeah. You're
anybody's losing. Yeah. Like, I don't care if he's like, oh, I'm just going to, you know, walk around and kick him. Like, that, no, that does not matter.
They'll come back.
They will come back. Off. Yeah. They will come back like, you want to hit people with trash can lids, huh? Now I'm going to have to cut you quick. That's just how it's going to be. Now, I know we've been touching on a lot of, like, the popular, like, kills and whatnot. So let's go ahead and get to the top favorites and the least favorites of our list here. I'm going to go ahead and go last on this one because I think my favorites actually, because I know we've talked about it, but my true favorite, like, rewatching everything is probably going to make you guys think. And that's something I want to lead into the next discussion. Guys, calm down. We can decide who.
As I said earlier, I think it was Friday the 13th, Part 3, where the dude, he has a dude strapped to the tree, and he puts the belt around his eye sockets and over his head, and then puts a stick in there and just starts twisting the belt, and it pretty much just like crushes dude's head. That's probably one of my favorite kills because it's so practical and it's so realistic. Mm-hmm. Leather being twisted like that with your body part in it.
Oh, it's gone.
It's done. I mean, that leather is not going to break before your head does.
Oh, absolutely not. that's true with any fabric, though.
And if it's wet leather, you're even more screwed.
Now, like, if you, like, watch old, like, CIA training videos and shit.
Yeah.
When they use, like, the garrote wire.
Yeah, like a rope wire.
Or like...
piano wire.
But, yeah, jeez. if you watch all that, or like piano wire, the piano wire will fucking decapitate you. That's how dangerous that shit is.
Yes.
Like, especially if you put, you know, two pieces of wood at each end of it for handles.
Yeah. I always like the cheese wire.
You know, and just, you can actually decapitate somebody with paracord doing that. Mm-hmm. So with that basis of a kill, something that's stronger like leather, that's not going to cut. That's going to crush.
Exactly.
And it's you're going to feel it. Now, getting decapitated by garrote wire, you're going to feel the cut, but pretty much the pain's going to be gone in about 5 seconds.
Yeah, but you have to be a substantially strong person to be able to decapitate with that piano wire. That's more for, piano wire is more for getting into the throat and getting into the jugular and carotid. Cause you to bleed out. And I have seen a lot of good decapitation scenes, but it would take someone that's more of a supernatural killer, such as Michael Myers or Jason Voorhees, to really pull that off. I couldn't see Chucky strangling somebody with piano wire and him actually decapitating. I can see him strangling somebody.
Yeah, not decapitating.
Oh, no. There's actually a technique that instead of just holding it behind their head, like how Jason did, twist.
Yeah.
It uses the twist leverage, and that can pop people's heads. You don't have to be all that strong. You just have to get them. You can use that exact same thing with a silk scarf, and it's going to do almost the exact same thing. Like, there's an entire technique behind it that I was reading about. I was like, that would make a great kill. And I was like, wait a minute, that's already been a whole lot of kills. What about you, Bobo?
I got to throw it back. Oh,
excuse me. That is if you were done, Josh. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, I'm done, yes. Okay. You're good.
I got to throw it back to the good old-fashioned Leatherface. Just good old-fashioned chainsaw massacres.
I like how you said that like you were having an orgasm.
Maybe he was.
He was having a deathgasm.
That one. That's got some good fucking kills. The dildo kills, yes. Man. I don't give a fuck who you are. If you have a sense of humor about you whatsoever, you are going to find the dildo kills and the anal bead kills quite entertaining in
the
that movie.
The barbed wire weed whacker to the penis. Yes.
Fucking amazing.
Dropping a whole ass engine block on your head from what, like 10, 15 up, feet up?
Yeah.
You know, I think you would have went out like that. Half his face grinded off and crushed by an engine? Yeah.
I don't think your cousin was really a demon. No, he came in saying hell, Satan, all that.
Oh, did you hear him? I heard him. Oh. Good kill yes. From Scout's Guide to a Zombie Apocalypse, where the chubby one gets that crackhead zombie with the Britney Spears shirt on. He gets him to start singing "Oops, I Did It Again," and then I know it's just so basic where dude gets where the zombie gets his fucking shot in the back of the head, but I'm like, he was this zombie was singing Britney Spears when he got killed. That just made it 10 times better.
So I would have to say for me, probably either when the clown fell on top of the chainsaw in 31.
That was really good.
And it just all over the place. Yeah. Or, I had it written down. Yeah, or a good old-fashioned Victor Crowley Belisander. I don't know what it is. There's just something about the fucking Belisander.
I don't know. That chainsaw that he had was pretty fucking dope. I mean, I don't even know how he carried that motherfucker, dude.
but the Belisander to the back of the head.
And the fact he survived. The second one. The guy survived. That's what's fucked up.
I do like in the last one, though, where they showed the bald patch.
Yes. That one was really good. What about you, Bobby?
Another good one. Of course, I gotta go with Jason Voorhees and the beating a motherfucker with another motherfucker.
Yeah, that's always gonna be a good one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, another one of those iconic, the icons.
And it was one of those what the fuck moments, too. Like, so, is this really happening?
So, this, a mass murder that I enjoy, movie wise, not in real life, by the way.
Columbine, Jonestown.
So a mass murder I enjoy would Project be from the third Child's Play, where he replaces all the paintball ammunition with the live ammunition.
That was a good one.
And they
one.
Go out for the retreat.
Yep.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
That was a great kill. It really, like,
and the whole entire time he just sitting there, just big old smile on his face and laughing.
We were talking about Wire, and it reminds me of Ghost Ship. That's my favorite. Oh, my favorite fucking mass kill. It's like they hit that fucking switch, and you just see that wire start burning up, and then like zip. And realistically, with enough power put behind that,
you see just the line on the guy's face perfectly across his mouth.
Yeah.
And the clean slice.
The fact that I could completely see that happening. Maybe not to that many people and it getting through all of them, but a good portion of them, yes.
The first maybe like 5 or 10, definitely.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
But the other ones, I could see them just getting like completely like mollywopped.
Knocked the fuck over. Yeah.
Knocked overboard into the water,
right.
Or just the sheer pressure crushing their skull. Yeah,
maybe
or
a deep cut.
Yeah.
You know.
Breaking all their fucking ribs or something.
Now, a good mass kill, since we're on that segue subject, a good mass kill that people kind of leave alone, and I count it as, I don't know if you guys do, but I do, Resident Evil, the first one.
When the Red Queen goes homicidal.
And they're inside that. They get locked in that room, and they're trying to dodge that laser.
Oh,
uh-huh. Yeah. That one's good.
I liked that a lot because I loved the sheer badass of that sergeant fucking jumping over the laser and everything, and then it just turns into a fucking grid, and he just fuck.
Another one with that movie that would be very realistic. The Halon fumes suffocating everybody in that one room. That's very real. I mean, if you're in a closed room and a Halon system kicks on and it starts spraying the Halon and you don't have some kind of a breathing apparatus, I think my dad said it's like you got about 2 minutes top and that Halon's going to fill your lungs and you ain't going to survive it. Mm. It's bad shit. It displaces all oxygen.
So I got a good multi-kill, and it's the only good thing I can say about this movie. The newest Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yes.
When he actually gets to do a chainsaw massacre and wipes out everyone on that.
You
want to
get canceled? All the fucking hipsters on the bus?
Yeah.
You
want to get canceled, bro? And he's just like, sure.
Zip.
I'm going to cancel your life subscription. Now come here, bitch.
So I, like, I don't care what anybody fucking says. My wife told me it's a corny as shit movie, but you know what? Oh, well. Cabin in the Woods.
Hey, fuck you. That movie is awesome. Cabin in
the Woods. I love that movie, especially with the unicorn. The unicorn kill. Just good, a good 2-3 stabs with the horn, and then just rear off to do something else.
I like the drill bit robot.
Yeah.
Because it disappears, and you hear like... And then those blood goes flying and shit. I'm like,
you actually have to search to find where the fucking robot is. Right. You can hear it. Yeah.
The merman.
Yes.
The mermaid was pretty badass.
Finally get to see a merman.
Yes. Such a corny my ass. That was one of the greatest horror movies of the new generation.
I like how when the merman came up, he was like, oh, come on. The other guy sitting there's like, you can see on his face, he was just like, well, at least you got it.
The fucking, the blood squirting out of the fucking blowhole.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That had to have been my favorite part about that kill.
As he's fucking mowing down.
Right.
Okay, so we're going to revert back so I can tell my least favorite style of kill and my number one favorite. Least favorite is a typical kill. Now, when I say about that, what's entertaining about somebody getting stabbed with a butcher knife?
Oh, yeah.
I guess the first time you see it, it's kind of entertaining, but then you see it over and over and over and over, and it just gets it gets lame after a while.
It's like, okay.
Innovation.
Can I say in real life, it's probably a completely different experience?
Well, yeah.
It is.
I mean, the most boring kill would turn into the most exciting kill.
Well, it's...
I mean, either way, really.
It's this. I'm watching, like... I've seen a lot of slasher movies where that's all they use. It's like a hunting knife. Mm-hmm.
So,
what makes you stand out? Yeah, like, what makes you stand out? What makes this kill so different? It's nothing to it. It is... You can... It's like $300 for a fucking iconic-looking, custom-made, retractable blade knife. I can't fucking talk. And, you know, and putting a fucking triggered blood pack on the inside of somebody's shirt, it's like the cheapest kill you can make that's not off-screen.
Right.
It's so lazy to me. I'm like, you can do better.
Well, with Scream, though, yes, a lot of those kills were done with the buck knife. But it was the story behind why they were killing who they were killing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's what you value more in the Scream movies. It's not as much the kills. Some of them are really good, and the aftermath, you know, looks really good. But when it comes right down to
it... A corny-looking mask, that was also kind of scary, too, in my opinion.
Right, yeah.
It was very meta.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really liked the Scream movies, and it's just basically because of the story. And I know they got done and done and done, but I was never disappointed with plot lines. Like how they explained and why these people were killing and how they were tied into the whole original situation.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Now, I gotta say with my favorite kill overall, and mind you, in my sickness, I've also been watching, you know, top 10 best horror movie kills and all that shit, just prepping for it. And like I've been doing like most iconic horror movies. What's the best? What's, you know, this? What's that? And I realized one thing, that my favorite horror movie kill has to be from the movie Hereditary.
I have not seen that movie.
I have not seen that either. Well, actually, yes, I have.
When Charlie is hanging out of the car, gasping for breath for life.
Oh.
Her brother swerves to miss a deer, and she gets decapitated by a telephone pole. It's so fucking sudden that you don't have time to react. You're just like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
It's so just... Kills are supposed to do that to you. And that movie flawlessly did that.
2001 Maniacs.
Ah!
the drawn and quartered scene. That was very well done.
The bell dropping arm.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, I forgot about that movie. It felt like a fever dream.
It does, doesn't it?
I just watch it to watch Robert Englund go, oh, a Negro and a Chinaman to boot.
My favorite line out of that whole movie was when he was talking about eating everyone. He's like, oh, don't eat the Chinese. You'll just be hungry in an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is the scene I'm talking about. And then it's just fucking dead silence.
I really feel like that would make a hell of a lot more noise than what it did. It would be like,
yeah.
Like a thump and a like halfway wet fart sound.
I was expecting more of like a rather vicious thud.
Right.
So, interesting tidbit. That actress got to keep her own head after
No,
this.
She did not.
She didn't?
No, she tried.
Oh.
And Millie Shapiro? Yeah, she tried, but they didn't give it to her.
What the fuck?
That's lame.
Well, you got to think, it's a... it was a... The prosthetic for her head was made out of... fucking latex. So it was going to rot.
Yeah.
So it wasn't going to keep forever.
Put in the freezer, like a wedding cake.
Just have a random head in the freezer.
No, there is a way to keep props like that alive forever, and that is putting it in a in an airtight glass container, but it has to be like vacuumed airtight.
Mm-hmm.
That way there is no moisture, no bacteria, nothing can culture on it. And it'll keep forever, but you can also only have it on display. You can never, like...
Wear it.
Yeah, wear it, or, you know, like, hey, I'm going to put it up
on... Get it out, make out with it and shit.
Exactly. But, yeah, so... That kill right there was just how they did it. Like, you see it, and, like, when you see the aftermath of it, they didn't need to show you the aftermath, but they did.
Mm-hmm.
Like 3 more minutes after that kill scene, they do show what her head looks like. But they showed what her head looks like in the desert during the daytime, and there's a bunch of fucking fire ants and shit eating her face.
That's perfect.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's just like, oh my god, that's terrible. And like the jaw being crushed in half, like it's fucked.
Nice.
Like it is like disgusting looking, and I'm like, ooh, I love that.
Who makes really good kill scenes, in my opinion? You know, Rob Zombie. Sometimes they're not over the top bloody, and like the scene where Michael Myers as a child in the original Halloween viciously beats that bully to death with that fucking limb.
Yeah.
Like you even you see
the thuds,
the blood coming out of his head, and then you see the blood that has gotten in his eye. I mean,
the blood is coming
was a very real fucking scene.
Yeah,
like when he beat that dude to death, that kind of like, oh fuck.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, that was my first scene when we were talking about our, like, the brutality type shit.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking of when I mentioned that. Just the that beating of the head that I've seen that scene from the Rob Zombie movie.
Danny Trejo getting his head crushed with a TV.
Dude, they did my boy Danny wrong in that one.
They did.
Yeah. You're my boy, Blue.
You're my boy, Trejo.
That sounds racist.
So,
but that's
how
just his
did
name.
You feel about the Fish Boy from House of a Thousand Corpses?
You know,
because that technically was an off-screen kill.
It was. You didn't ever see
technically,
that.
But you
yes,
saw the aftermath.
No. If you watch the deleted scenes or the extras on the DVD, it actually shows like the actual kill on.
But
it.
That's
the
theatrically, scene. It yeah. did not.
But you did see the aftermath, and it was dun dun, a work of art.
No, it was in Captain Spaulding, or not Captain Spaulding. Dr. Satan's lair.
It was no, it wasn't in Dr. Satan's lair. It was in a
Otis's bedroom.
Yeah,
it was
Otis's
in
Otis's
bedroom.
Bedroom. Because it was the chick's boyfriend.
Yeah.
It was Dwight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but I could have sworn.
And he showed her.
Down
and
in
Dwight
Dr.
in
Satan's,
the office,
they
too.
Had the fucking.
Yeah.
Same guy
I thought
that
they
played
had him down there. Or was that the other dude?
That was the other dude.
Okay. Yeah.
They had him in a bunny suit.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was technically still alive.
Yeah, he was. Doctor. Yeah, because Dr. Satan was turning him into some type of like bunny man.
Yes.
Yeah, Fish Boy.
I fucking love
it. Yes.
I think it's so well done.
I mean, you see
it,
the aftermath, clearly.
I love that you can see the...
And he's like all posed, and like the gills and
the,
stuff
yeah,
around the
abdomen.
Yeah, you
can see the line of where it's human and where it's fish. But how you can also see like the amateur style blending right
uh-huh,
there.
Where yeah. it's just kind of, but, it's kind of like a dead stop and it's blotchy.
Well, see, the reason why it's one of those like...
Is that a painting right there?
Yeah, that's a painting.
Oh, that is amazing.
I need that.
We're looking up images. But no, it's what makes it so good is like since you can see that fucking line and you can see like the amateur style up here,
uh-huh.
that tells you that, you know, the Fireflies... weren't good at it. Like, they were good enough to craft it, but they weren't good enough to make it look real. It looks shittyish on purpose.
Yes.
That's what makes it look so fucking good.
Well, they probably would have eventually, had the movies not played out like they did, after a while they would have preserved him and probably put him up in Spaulding's shop.
Put him in the museum.
Yeah.
Which uh-huh. is an interesting concept to think about. Like, what would happen if they didn't get caught?
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
there'd be a lot more dead people.
More people would have died.
I still just like the whole Dr. Satan aspect of House of a Thousand Corpses personally.
I think they would actually hit a thousand corpses if they didn't get caught.
That's true.
Now... does The Kills make a good movie?
Like, just movie in general or good horror movie?
Good horror movie.
Nuh-uh.
Would The Kills sell it to you?
Depending on how The Kills are made.
Simple answer for me.
I yes. guess it depends on the plot of the movie and the and how it's set up.
Right. Now, going back to what Josh said about Ghost Ship. You realize, like, has anybody actually sat down and watched Ghost Ship?
Oh, yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
It's been a long time, but yes.
Can you tell me the plot line of the movie?
I can't remember.
Well, there is a guy, and he's a soul collector, and he turns everybody on the ship against each other and makes them kill each other to... basically appease his master, which is, I'm assuming, some kind of a dark lord. And he sacrifices all these souls to that person by making them kill each other. And then when the movie actually kicks off to modern present day, that same person approaches a wreckage crew that salvages wrecked boats and freight liners and shit like that. Now, during the beginning of this, they just think that he's just a guy that flew his helicopter over and saw the ship. They have no clue. And it's only after the ghosts start making an appearance that you start getting the dots put together on who the soul collector is.
Right. Now, you know the plot of Ghost Ship.
Yeah.
I've seen that movie quite a few times.
No.
Still didn't know that was the plot. But do you know what I remember, though?
What?
the beginning scene, the yes. kills, the that mass kill.
Oh yeah.
What I'm saying is that the kills can make a movie memorable, but if all you remember the movie for is the kills, then there is no movie to have.
I like a story. I do like a story with my kills.
Exact.
But does that mean that that movie has made it if you can only remember it just for the kills?
Nope. Deathgasm. We remember that movie for way more than the kills.
Yeah.
The we've also acting. Seen that movie how many times?
Yeah.
But just think about it this way. We went back and saw that and watched that movie multiple times.
Yeah.
And we didn't watch it for the kills. We watched it because it was funny.
Yeah.
It had a good storyline, in my opinion, because it was nice and over the top.
Norwegian death metal.
Yeah.
It was nice and campy.
Exactly.
Nice and campy.
Campy as hell. And so that made it a good movie. Ghost Ship, like I said, I've seen the movie quite a few times. I can't remember the plot to save my life. And the only reason why I've watched it quite a few times is because, oh, Ghost Ship. I remember that one scene. And then I just lose interest after that.
Check out afterwards.
What I'm saying is that the kills can make you remember a movie, but it does not make the movie.
Soundtrack made me remember that movie. The main song was Not Falling from Mudvayne.
It was.
That was like the... That was like... When they come out with that CD, that was like the one single, and everybody fucking that like Mudvayne knew that fucking song.
Mm-hmm.
The work on it, period. The bass work, the guitar work, the percussion, the vocals, it was all perfect.
Now, in a horror movie, slasher, whatever, traditional monster movie, creature feature, it doesn't matter. What genre do you think has the strongest kills? Like, you can almost, if you describe a kill, you've described the genre.
Yeah.
In your opinion, what is the like most iconic type of kill that people can you can talk about it, and you're instantly talking to like slasher? We're like, hey, that kills more of a, you know, supernatural. That kills more of this. That kills more of that. That kills more of a creature feature.
So if we had to sum up a horror subgenre based off of a specific kill.
Well, what's the most iconic kill that no matter how you say it will make you think of a certain genre?
Like anybody that's ever watched American Werewolf in London, those kills were pretty iconic.
Son of a bitch!
Those kills were pretty iconic.
That's what I was going to say.
And the fucking, and that's the part, that's the thing, is like the makeup that they did in that movie about the corpses, that how they're like, they're still visiting him, the spirits, and how fucked up they look. I mean, they pulled off that dude having his throat ripped out, and it looked fucking amazing. And that's something I'm always going to remember from that movie, is the way that fucking corpse looked after it got mauled by a werewolf, is that it had his throat fucking ripped out. But then when they made him talk and move around and follow the main character around, it's like you couldn't even tell that it was makeup. It looked so natural.
So what you're saying is that... So if I described, this guy killed his friend and his friend followed him around looking like a ghost zombie, everybody's going to think American Werewolf in London.
I guess so. You got to add the part that he was a werewolf when he did it.
You well, that's what I'm saying. You don't
he
have
didn't
to
kill
add
his
that.
He didn't kill his own friend. That was the original werewolf. Because, see,
that
was the typical lineup for somebody to get infected by a werewolf, is that the best friend got mauled to fucking death, and the friend tried to save the other friend and got slashed or bitten, claw, whatever, and then he got infected.
Now... Since I described it, you know, friend, you know, kills friend or has, you know, dead friend follow him.
All right. So my first thought is Idle Hands.
I fucking love that movie.
Just off that description.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
I love you.
I fucking love that movie.
No, that was what I was going to say next, is like everybody thought American Werewolf in London, but nobody thinks of Idle Hands because the same shit happens in that movie.
But those were zombies.
Yeah, but they were zombies. But they have to be ghost zombies though too, because it had the exact same style of premise. Like, yeah, they were still alive. People can still see them and whatnot.
Yes.
But it makes you kind of like, I mean, that's American Werewolf in London-y.
If you...
Because you don't really see it.
Describe somebody getting hit in the fucking forehead with a beer bottle, and then, like, he just passes out on the floor. Yeah, like, that's iconic. Yeah. Like, everybody knows you're talking about that, and if they don't, they're too young to be hanging out with you.
Yeah, Seth Green, you know, getting... Bottle impaired. Look at me. I'm Leatherface. Now, if I say the phrase, guy gets hacked to death with a chainsaw.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Exactly. Nobody's thinking of Hatchet 2.
Well, no one's thinking of Hatchet 2. No one's thinking of 31.
No one's thinking of Mandy.
No one's thinking of Deathgasm.
Uh-huh.
I mean, chainsaws, man. That's one thing that I feel like has been done to death because Leatherface did it so much. I mean, Deathgasm,
it was a chainsaw windmill.
Yeah.
Where he jumped up and then started spinning around.
Yeah. He was a metal Beyblade.
Evil Dead.
Yeah?
Yeah, Evil Dead.
So, instead of describing a kill for, like, the... subgenre of horror, I see it more as when you say a kill, it describes which one of like the more iconic slashers
who did it the best.
Who did it the best or who would be more likely to do it, but type of thing.
But I can sit here and also name off weapons and it's going to be the same thing. Butcher knife. Michael Myers.
Yeah,
who wielded the butcher knife the best?
Chucky.
Chucky
had the butcher
really
knife.
Really wasn't a butcher knife, but it was still a knife.
Yeah.
But still, Chucky also has different style kills, too. I mean, hell, he uses that bitch different with weapons. Hammer.
But that's what I like about Chucky so much, is he uses more... He doesn't really have an iconic thing other than just a ritual knife, which he really doesn't use.
What was he called? The Lakeshore Strangler?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was his most favorite thing, was to choke people.
Mm-hmm.
He probably got a boner.
But he was always using different stuff and, like, on the fly creative shit.
I mean, he did a very claymore with an airbag and some nails.
That was Yes.
That was dope as fuck.
But that's another amazing one, too. The fucking nails. And
exactly.
Chucky is another really good one for dope-ass kills.
Okay, so I say butcher knife and Michael Myers and Chucky comes to mind.
Yeah.
Nobody's talking about the Mutilator. Nobody's talking about Sorority House Massacre. Nobody. Yeah, exactly.
What was Slumber Party Massacre?
Slumber Party Massacre was a drill.
Was it a drill?
Yeah. That's another thing that people don't think of, like, how many drill killers were there? Like, strictly drill killers.
Not many.
Slumber Party Massacre. And they were good. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I can watch bitches getting drilled all night long.
That's what I'm going to do when I get home.
Get drilled?
No, watch bitches get drilled.
But... kills don't make the movie, but they help a lot. Mm-hmm. If you have lame-ass kills, nobody's going to remember your fucking movie.
They help put a stamp, I think.
There was this movie on Hulu. I can't remember the fucking name of it. And I actually hate this movie with a good fiber of my being. All I remember is that Omar Epps was the detective in it. They had one kill that was creative, and the rest of them were just gut stabs.
I'm not quite sure what movie you're speaking of. Was it a Hulu original?
I think so, yeah. I mean, if you go onto like Wikipedia... Actually, you know, fuck it, I got a computer.
Yeah.
Jamie, pull that up, please.
A lot of my favorite kills comes from American Horror Story, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, they got really creative with some of them. Shooting that dude's fucking big massive dick off.
Yeah.
That was a good creative kill because she pretty much like said, I'm going to disable you. with the one thing that you care about, and it's your dick. And from the stuffing job, it looked like he had a glorious penis.
Very not approachable.
You're right. Very unapproachable.
It's this movie called Trick.
Made in 2019, that. Directed by Patrick Lussier?
Patrick Lussier, yeah. But this movie is junk. Absolute fucking trash.
I'm glad I haven't watched it then.
It's not worth watching.
You gotta watch it now.
I mean, well, I see it pop up on Hulu all the time.
Same.
Make your own opinion. If you guys want to watch it, watch it. It might be your thing. It was not mine. I point out way too many inconsistencies. The storyline dragged on, and it just went to took too many left fields to where it just got overall confusing. And like Omar Epps is what sold it for me. I was like, man, I love OE. Like, let me watch this. And he just phoned in. He was there for a paycheck. Like, he wasn't there to actually put craft into this. He was just like, eh. So it's like, none of the kills stand out to me except for the, except for one. And that was a, and that was a guy getting a piece of wire wrapped around his neck. And the wire was ran up a telephone pole and over to the side and then down. And on the other end of that wire were cinder blocks.
Yeah.
Like a pallet of cinder blocks. And the killer jumped on the pallet, triggering the mechanism to, you know, kill him.
Yeah.
But
totally glad you clarified, because I was thinking, oh, two cinder blocks, that's not going to pull a human up.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't pull him up. It tightens the cord around his neck to the pole.
If you had a wire around your neck with two 35-pound cinder blocks attached to it, you're most likely going to get your throat cut.
And you engage gravity?
Yeah, but here's the inconsistency. It wasn't a cinder block or two. It was a pallet. So 30 to 40 of them. And I'm like, how was he not dead originally? Like,
that either would have decapitated him, or depending on what the string was, would have like yeeted him up along with itself.
It's one of those, like, you got to watch the, and it's so stupidly done, but it is creative. I give him that. Like, I haven't seen it before. Like, okay, that's pretty creative. But the rest of the movie, I'm like, oh, why is this?
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
But when it comes to kills, they're very important in horror. Now, do you guys like the more the merrier? Or do you like that good, respectable number?
I like a good, respectable number with creativity. I don't like...
Same.
I don't want a bunch of fucking kills with the same MO.
Quality over quantity.
Yeah, I don't want the kills to muddy the plot or the storyline.
So, give me a good mix of both. Give me like 2, 3, even 4 good-ass kills, but sprinkle a lot throughout too. Like,
well, like
like a few stabbings in between.
Yeah.
Cabin in the Woods is the good medium between that.
There's really not a whole lot that happens throughout the film, but then once you get down to the last, like,
once the
45-30 minutes,
yeah,
then it's just all fucking hell in every way you can imagine.
Look at the quality of those kills though. That's what puts me on it so hard, is that they weren't just, even if they made it off screen, they made it entertaining.
Yeah.
I personally liked Chris Hemsworth's death.
Oh, yeah, where he just smacks. Crack, and then just goes down.
I mean, yeah, he didn't know it was there, but it was still just funny. Like, you knew that wall was there, you knew it was going to happen, but the build-up just made it funny as shit, in my opinion.
Personally, I hate that they gave it away with the bird flying into it beforehand.
I did like that part, actually. That good bit of foreshadowing.
That does explain. Yeah, uh-huh. Like, when he go... Well, basically, when you seen him fire up that dirt bike, I already know how this is going. I already know what's going
to
happen.
You want it to happen, though.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, you kind of half when I first watched it, I half expected it to be like the fiery explosion type of thing, you know.
I wanted to see if he was going to break the barrier, and that's how they found out they were in a simulation.
Oh yeah, I didn't think
that's what
like
I was thinking about. I was like, oh man, he's going to break through that, and then there's going to be a chase scene with the government officials and shit. And it just wasn't that.
I was expecting like a fireball or explosion or something like that. No, he just like
the stoner did it.
He just smacks into it and then just fall, and you could hear it like hitting and further down as it goes.
Yeah, that's. I love that because that's not where I thought the movie was going.
Yeah,
certain kills can lead into certain conclusions of movies too, like. Cabin in the Woods, smacked into that wall.
Yeah.
You know they're fucked.
Uh-huh.
That is a, like, for people to look at that, like, from their point of view.
The quote-unquote final girl, too, or who was supposed to be the final girl in the setup, you know, the virgin and everything.
She was a bigger whore than the other girl.
She sold it, though, like, after, like, once he smacked the wall and that sense of, like, oh shit, we're trapped here set in. I honestly think she sold that rather well, like when she started freaking out.
Yeah. Like, tell me why, like, these kills like that segue into a good part of the movie. Like, they are very essential, but I'm going to agree with the kind of the group here. I do love my quality kills over my quantity kills. Mm-hmm. Now, quantity kills are fine, especially if it's like a zombie movie. Or if it's like a mass genocide type of thing. Or if it goes relative with the plot. Now, a lot of quantity without a lot of substance. Like, I'm going to call these fast food kills. Because it's a kill, but you're not all that satisfied. We got your knife stabs, your stranglings, your...
So, contrary to what I said about Child's Play 3... I really am not a fan of kills with guns.
Exactly. Movies. Your shootings. You know? Yeah. Now, it's a kill. It happened. We got to see it. It meets the criteria.
Unless, of course, it is a shotgun or unless the reciprocation of the bullet is like Quentin Tarantino over exaggerated.
You just go flying out of the
yeeted
room.
Halfway across the fucking house.
I did like Captain Spaulding's kill with the 357, then he sniffed the gun barrel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was nice. Fuck you.
But those I call fast food kills. Because, yeah, you know what you're going to get. You know what you're getting when you see it. And it is. It is bare basic needs satisfying, but it's not satisfying. Like, if you had a choice between that or a, like, 1-inch-thick, 2-pound Wagyu steak with butter and fucking garlic sauce and mushrooms, like, yeah, you're going to go, you want that, but you can afford fast food kills.
I was going to say, I would go fast food kills all day long anyways. I like what I like.
We're talking about kills, not food here, Bobby.
Well, both. So, like, with your quality kills, I guess I like the more visual and audio matching, like, respectful.
Yeah.
Like, if it's a head crunch, I want to hear the crunch. If it's a stab, I want to hear that good, you know, unique squelch.
Yeah.
I want it done slowly. I want to suffer with the character, as fucked up as that may seem.
Yeah.
Or with a head crunch, like, especially like if it's like a boot stomp head crunch, I like seeing the give on the leg when the head finally does crush. You know.
Oh, when it comes to a boot stomp head crush, I'm a huge fan of not one stomp.
Oh, just multiple. Going
like let you know that what it's actually like to stomp a face in.
Yeah,
like you're gonna have to do it like 5 or 6 fucking times.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking more of like using your foot and just like pressure, and then like once the skull actually cracks and crushes, you actually see the relief
Yeah.
You know, the give, the pressure from it.
Yeah, that's, yeah, that's good.
Even if there's no, like, audible indication, like, just something about that give in the foot.
Yeah, that's the kind of kills I'm talking about. There could be only two or one of those in a movie. As long as the movie had a good plot line and had a good, like, drive to it, I'd watch it all fucking day long. I'm a sucker for that. But at the same vein, I love my over-the-tops because it gets me excited and it gets me happy. I know when something's good, but I like something better that it's going to make me happy. So if I'm going to watch one of these, like, true-to-lifestyle kills, you know, Hereditary, Midsommar, and a few of those other Ari Aster films or whatever, where the kills are just, like, so realistically and well thought of, then yeah.
We forgot about the deaths or the kills technically in Midsommar. Holy shit.
Yeah. Those were
fucking
all...
jumping from the cliff. And then
feet first, and then, yeah.
And then the dude didn't die first, so they smash his head, and then you watch his head get smashed with a fucking hammer. Oh my god!
Or the guy getting skinned and having somebody else wear his skin.
Oh yeah.
And then there was the
skin suit.
The guy having his lungs on the outside of his body, but still alive.
Blood eagled.
Yeah. Like those kind of kills, I'm like, that's brutal.
Being fed that one drug where you're paralyzed, but you can still feel everything, and then yeah. Being burned alive.
And then, but then you go to the opposite side of the coin there. Then we're talking about our deathgasms. Like, come on, getting killed with a dildo and anal beads is fucking great.
It is pretty amazing.
You go to hatchet, like a belt sander, really? All the time? A fucking 7-foot chainsaw blade? You know, how are you going to get beat to death with the handle of an hatchet? Come on. Like it,
watch.
Yeah, it's... Those are so shitty, and I love them. There's that good, like, over-the-top for the sake of it being over-the-top. Then there's that over-the-top, but you're trying to make it seem real.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a... Oh, there's some sort of stupid fucking camping movie that's like that. But.
That would be a lot of them.
Brokeback Mountain?
I guess that was a horror movie if you were far right. Cowboys don't fuck!
Real man. I bet you there's going to be at least like 50 cowboys that's going to speak up, be like, you want to bet, sir? Sir? Actually,
new
sorry.
T-shirt idea, sir. Cowboys don't fuck. Well, anyways, happy new year to everybody. We're going to end it here. Comment on our YouTube videos, or, you know, come and, you know, subscribe to our podcast, and, you know, go to Spotify, leave a comment, or go to our Anchor and leave a comment. Tell us what your favorite horror kill was and explain why. I'm very interested to know.
Now.
Right now.
No.
I'm watching you. This is DJ and I'm watching you.
This is Josh and I'm watching you.
I'm Bobby and I'm watching myself.
This is Chris and I might be doing some stuff while watching you.
Bum, bum, bum.
See ya.